Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Okay, hello, we are live. This is Healthy Gut Girl coming to you from deep inside your small intestine. This is Stuff Your Doctor Should Know, and I have a really special guest today. But first, I want to talk to you about something that comes up all the time with me, because I have so many clients and so many members in my groups and my Facebook followers and my everything, and I'm always getting questions from people who live in smaller cities or in middle America, and they're like, where do I get a hold of these supplements? Like, it's so difficult, and it's so expensive, and you don't know what you're getting exactly on Amazon or online, and even things just like bone broth or EFA oils or probiotic or really good shampoo or whatever. And I finally came across this really, really cool market. It's called Thrive Market. Basically, this is how it works. You register for free, and you can browse the Thrive Market catalog just by going to thrivemarket.com. And you see the member savings, and you receive 15% off of your first purchase. And the way you start your trial is, on your first purchase with Thrive Market, you'll start a 30-day free membership, okay? And then you can see how much you save in that 30 days. And you can cancel before you have to pay anything. It's awesome. And if you don't like it, you just cancel. No harm, no foul, right? So, but then what you do is you pay a monthly or yearly fee and you get this huge discount. It's kind of like a Costco online, but like healthy, like for all this healthy stuff. So I have the link for Thrive Market in the show notes of this podcast, or you can go to the products page on my website at healthygutgirl.com. And it'll be there too. And it's such a cool way to just be able to access these organic, healthy products without paying a fortune or having to drive really far to your closest Whole Foods. So I wanted to just mention that. And then I want to talk about this guest. This is super cool because it happened just even our meeting, our original time I met him, which was probably almost a year ago now, I don't know, seemed kind of divine and really, really just sort of like God came down and said, this is going to happen. And it just took over, and here we are. And now, you know, all this time later, we're here together randomly today because he texted me this morning and said, what are you doing for lunch? And I said, we're doing a podcast. So this is my guest, James Raffone, right?
Yes. Good morning. How are you?
And he is from the East Coast. Where are you from?
I'm from New Jersey.
He's from New Jersey. Of course you are, because my husband's from New Jersey, and you can't miss that accent. New Jersey's the bomb. So what's so amazing about this man, so I want to back up a second and talk about, you know, a lot of you know when I started working with my husband, how I was very blessed to be able to work with the demographic my husband was working with, which was these special needs families that had these children with different disabilities and everything, you name it. It was amazing and sad and heartbreaking and wonderful all at the same time. And I remember thinking to myself, there's one certain type of person that you see working with their own children who I call super people. They're superheroes, basically. It's like nothing can stop them. You know, the fact that they have this massive challenge, first of all, to watch your child go through something so awful and feel so helpless, to still be this, like, hero, to be this super person, is really, really admirable, and I absolutely love it. And this man is one of those people. So he has a foundation called the Jar of Hope, and it is basically a foundation to raise awareness and money for Duchenne muscular dystrophy. So I want you to tell us what Duchenne is.
Well, first and foremost, let me say I'm so flattered by that introduction that I'm very, very humbled by that.
Aw, you're welcome.
But my son is my inspiration, and the fact that my son is terminally ill is what drives me 24 hours, 7 days a week. And until we can find a cure for him, I will be relentless in that pursuit to find a cure. So thank you, first and foremost, for having me here. So this was a divine intervention to not only have a last-minute call to fly out to the West Coast, but then to be just miles away from you and then to reach out and see how you are and then talk about a lunch. And then bingo, here we are. We're doing a podcast.
It's so cool.
So the Cosmo we're talking, I think we're in the right space. We are where we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And talking about Jar of Hope is something that I will always do. I will always talk about it. So thank you very much for having me. And Jar of Hope was started because September 13, 2013, my son James Anthony Raffone, he is the inspiration for Jar of Hope, was diagnosed with Duchenne muscular dystrophy, which is a terminal muscle wasting disease that has been around for 187 years and to date does not have a cure.
Wow.
It's heart-wrenching, and it's a global disease. It's a rare disease. There's over 300,000 children worldwide. It's basically a fraternal disease. There's maybe 1% of that population that affects the girls, but most of the time it's all boys that this disease outwardly affects, but women can be the carriers of the disease, and that's how it is handed down. It's a hereditary disease, and it's god-awful.
So tell me what the difference is between muscular dystrophy and Duchenne.
Well, muscular dystrophy is a category, if you will, and it categorizes all of the neuromuscular diseases that are out there, and there are plus or minus 140 different neuromuscular diseases. So Duchenne muscular dystrophy happens to be one of nine of the most aggressive forms of muscular dystrophy, and it happens to be terminal where other forms of it are not. So that's the biggest difference between Duchenne and the rest of the other neuromuscular diseases.
So what are the characteristics or the signs? You know, when did you said in 2013?
Yes.
So what was the thing that you noticed all of a sudden?
Well, the oddity is when my son started to walk was 17 months old. We thought that was a bit delayed, but I had two older children who were girls. And my oldest daughter started walking at 12 months old. My second, and everybody said, oh, she's trying to keep up with her sister because they were Irish twins, and that she started walking at 10 months. So everybody said, oh, he's just a boy. Everybody's holding him. He's your first boy. And on the grandparent side, he's the first boy. So everybody's holding him. That's why he's delayed. So we let it go. And then it wasn't until he went to preschool, and thank God, his preschool teacher had the gumption to actually bring it to our attention, not only that my son was not keeping up with other children on the playground, but indeed she identified it as it might be a form of muscular dystrophy.
Oh, wow. She was clever about that, huh?
She was clever, and you know, she could have opened herself and the school up to a lawsuit for doing something of that nature, because you can't diagnose kids.
Of course not, right.
But she, God bless her, I was her first year in the school and happened to be the last year in her school. So I think there was a divine intervention there as well. My initial attitude when she opened up to us and said this was, no way, not my son.
Oh.
But who wants to acknowledge that their child not only is not up to par, but now is being classified by a non-medical profession that there is a neuromuscular disease involved.
Wow.
It was a hard, hard piece to swallow. And then we took him to get a consult with his pediatrician. And his pediatrician, the first thing she said was, no, he's fine. Just leave him alone. He'll grow into this, you know, into him being him. But that was in early of 2012. In 2013, early 2013, probably about May, his preschool teacher really got a hold of my wife and said, you need to get him tested. God bless her for having, you know, to continue down that path of the conviction.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would have probably just went on deaf ears. And so after that, my wife really got on top of the pediatrician, and the pediatrician still again said, no, no, no. Why don't we just wait till the following year when he's got to do his shots to go back to school, and we will do then a genetic test. So May and June came around. He graduated. He was going into kindergarten. And lo and behold, when we got all his shots ready to go, my wife again really pushed for the genetic test, and we got the results when school started. And forever since, our life has been changed.
Wow. So it's a genetic test, like it just panels the whole gene deck of that child, and then you're able to see what mutations and what's different, and there, that's how they found this. What'd you call it? Is it a genetic mutation? Or because it's hereditary, so it's...
Yeah, it's a genetic mutation that happens to fall on the X chromosome. It's your dystrophin gene, which is affected. That's the largest gene in the human body. And that gene produces a protein known as dystrophin, which enables muscle tissue to break down and reproduce. It kind of encapsulates muscle fibers. Mm-hmm. So as you know, when you go to the gym and work out, your muscle tissues break down. It's not until you go home, do you sleep and eat well, does your body repair. Mm. My son and other children with Duchenne muscular dystrophy, their muscle tissue does not have the ability to repair itself because that encapsulating protein is not there. Mm-hmm. So when their muscle tissues break down, either they excrete it or it turns to fibrotic tissue.
Oh, wow. So when did other characteristics of this disease start to show up in him?
Well, it fell right on the statistics. Between the ages of 4 and 6,
okay.
He was 4. And now we get into the other stages where the milestones are starting to appear. And between the ages of 9 and 12 are where kids lose ambulation or they lose the ability to walk. At 15, children will lose the ability to simply raise their hands. Mm. They will not be able to brush their teeth. They will not be able to brush their hair or hug their parents in return. Mm. And then by 17, when other children should be learning how to drive, children with Duchenne muscular dystrophy, unfortunately, are not strong enough anymore to simply lift their rib cage and allow oxygen to flow into their lungs. So they will need an ancillary breathing device just to be kept alive. And if that's not bad enough, by the ages of 19 to their early 20s, they will unfortunately lose their battle because the heart is the hardest working muscle in the body.
Of course.
And the heart breaks down and it doesn't repair itself. And these boys lose their life, and it's on their death certificates as cardiac arrest, not Duchenne, which is something that we at Jara Hope want to fight eventually to have changed, because maybe it'll get more awareness that way.
So at 4, then he started to show some signs, other signs of muscle atrophy, or what did you notice?
We just noticed that his gait, his ability to walk, was a little off, and that he couldn't necessarily run. But we just thought that he wasn't going to be an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, that really wouldn't have been the worst thing in the world.
Right.
But it was very quick in the terms of us seeing what happened, and then that turn of that year and getting the genetic test, which really made us understand what was wrong.
Mm.
Since then, we have done 150, I have executed 155 seminars in 33 months.
Wow.
And what's come out of that has been truly remarkable. Potentially the first holistic therapy that in 187 years that can slow down the progression of this disease, because there's nothing. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with the hyperbaric chamber.
Sure.
So the hyperbaric chamber was created many, many years ago, and it was initially for the bends, and then it turned into for those who were burn victims to repair their skin cells, to now elite athletes use them to repair their muscle fibers after a very hard workout, so especially football players, so they can get back on the field right away and not be so sore from workouts and weeks of getting beat up on a Sunday. So with this concept, we have taken my son, he's the first child with Duchenne muscular dystrophy, to go into a hyperbaric chamber, and to see the results of this, we needed to study. He's been in there for 18 months. Him and I go in this chamber for 8 hours a night. We've worked up to it. Yeah, it's truly remarkable. We started out at an hour and a half a day, and then we worked up to 8 hours, which now him and I go in the chamber every other night for 8 hours.
So do you have one in your home now, or...?
We do. There, okay. In Middletown, New Jersey, there's an exceptional doctor out there named Dr. David Dornfeld, and God bless him. I had sought him out because his name was thrown out to me during one of my seminars as to a doctor to seek out for help for this hyperbaric chamber treatment that he has a clinic for.
Okay.
So I didn't know that he was in the area even doing any of this. So it was just remarkable, someone in the audience that I was talking to suggest this.
Mm.
So after sitting with him for a couple of hours, he wanted to do some research on me to make sure that I just wasn't some lunatic just walking in his office. And after so, he called me within 24 hours and he said, I have a chamber for you. take it home and try and save your son's life.
Wow.
And that was the dawn of this new era of trying to save my son, especially his heart. What's come of this is now we've partnered with the University of Minnesota, and we're actually studying the Duchenne inflicted mice model in the hyperbaric chamber. Truly remarkable.
I'm blown away. I mean, this is stuff that you are facilitating. Like, you are heading. You're the pioneer here. And This is amazing. Okay, so you brought this thing home, and now you guys are doing studies on it, on mice, and with sticking them in hyperbaric chambers and watching what happens to their muscles and their dystrophin.
Right. We have the university bought into this, and they are emulating what my son and I are doing at home with the mice in the chamber. Hmm. And then the hope is the hope is that dystrophin can be produced, but we know this is not a cure, that this is just going to slow down the muscle breakdown of my son within his body, mm-hmm. which I'm hoping he doesn't lose ambulation by 9 and gives us more time to find a cure, right? Mm-hmm. And so far, so good. He's been denied access to 2 trials because they tell me he's too strong. How it's a bittersweet moment as a parent to be told he doesn't need the trial because he's above average for children with Duchenne muscular dystrophy.
Oh, my goodness.
And thank God his heart is in great shape.
Great.
Yeah.
I mean, when I met him, I got to tell you, I didn't even know who this kid was running around the clinic that we were in, but I was like, that is the cutest kid I've ever seen. I fell in love with him. They all have different characteristics, or do they have similar characteristics where you can say, yeah, those are similarities with these children that have Duchenne? Because what I noticed about him, just so you know, James here is incredibly fit, like almost hard to look at fit.
And, you're too kind.
And it's like, when I saw him, I thought, wow, is he making this kid work out? Like, this kid had little biceps and little calf muscles, and he looked like a little Hulk. He's so adorable. And is that a characteristic, or is that just a natural thing for him?
Well, it is, unfortunately, and especially with the calves, because the calves walking is one of the first muscle tissues that actually break down. So as my son was between 17 months and 36 months old, his calf muscles were breaking down, and the fibers then were turning into fibrotic tissue.
Wow. So it was like built up almost scar tissue kind of.
That's exactly what happened.
Wow.
And something remarkable about that, one of my other seminars, somebody had brought to my attention, did you ever learn or hear about an ultrasound therapy machine? I don't know. You might, because mm-hmm. of somebody you know.
Yeah.
And if anybody listening has ever had a spasm, mm-hmm. they would go to a chiropractor, and then maybe 3 days a week for 3 weeks, a chiropractor would apply an ultrasound therapy machine to their back with some gel. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, that spasm would break down and loosen up, and then you wouldn't feel any pain anymore. Well, that's exactly what happens. If you read anything in regard to Duchenne muscular dystrophy and the calves, you'll always hear that the boys they walk on their toes. They can't walk heel toe like a normal child
mm-hmm.
because the calf spasms and the heel cord pulls, so they're always walking on their toes.
Mm.
Well, what was fantastic about this was I went to a chiropractor because I had hurt my back during work
one
day.
Lifting something heavy.
Exactly. And so I had a spasm, and I couldn't get rid of it, and it was radiating through my neck, so it was the pain was enough that I went to the chiropractor, and he kept saying, Jim, don't worry about it. You'll be fine. You just have a spasm. Now, he said this word just maybe one too many times to me. And I said, what do you mean? You have to explain to me what a spasm is. So he did. He broke it down to me in layman's terms. Before you know it, I took the ultrasound machine out of his office that night. The next day, I got a chiropractor, him. I got a doctor and a physical therapist. Mm-hmm. And the three of them, in a disclosed location, went and they measured my son's movements, flexibility, and they recorded that. And then what we did from there was 90 days later, we saw that my son, after treating him every other night on his calf muscles for 7 minutes, he had a 60% increase in motor function in 90 days.
What?
Yes.
And is that consistent now? Like, it still is the case now?
My son can run.
I didn't know this.
Yes.
That's amazing.
When you saw him running around the boys with Duchenne, that is not supposed to happen.
How old was he when I saw him?
He was probably 6 going on 7.
Okay.
Because now he's going to be 8. At the end of this month, he's going to be 8.
Right. Wow. Oh, my God. That's amazing. Okay, so that is also not a cure, but it is something that, or does it prolong? Well, does that therapy and their hyperbaric, it increases the quality of their lives and it prolongs their life, you're hoping?
We're hoping it has definitely increased the quality of life, because he had a very awkward walk. He would walk with his chest out, and then his hips were in his, and you know, so it just, his whole body wasn't well, which was going to lead to spinal issues.
Mm.
So we've addressed the way he can walk, he can run, so he can enjoy some time with his friends. He's not a runner where he can keep up with them, by no means, but he doesn't feel like an outcast now.
Right.
Which makes us feel better.
Mm-hmm.
But we know these things aren't a cure, but we're just trying again to keep at bay the him losing ambulation.
Okay.
And the doctors have told us he's going to be 8. This may be his last summer as a child that walks.
Mm-hmm.
But I think between doing the hyperbaric chamber and doing the ultrasound therapy, he's going to be walking until he's 12, if not longer.
Yeah.
And you know why we're here.
Yeah.
Right? So right. Hopefully we're going to go back to New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
We have a CRO that's set up. And for those listeners out there, we are here meeting with some doctors, and we're hoping that we can have a compound that we can study in the Duchenne mouse when we get back home, and potentially be one of the leading candidates for a cure.
And, you know, not knowing much about this compound, the idea that maybe there is some kind of compound that might flip off that genetic mutation so that he can start producing the dystrophin. Is that the goal? That's really the goal, isn't it?
That is the goal.
Okay.
Or if anything, to just prevent muscle loss. If we can stop muscle loss, he's ahead of the game.
Mm.
Because without that, everything else, the collateral damages, your respiratory system ceases.
Sure.
You know, and if you can't breathe and expand your lungs, you have a whole host of other issues.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, it's the cardiac part where, you know, you can pass from cardiac arrest. So that's where we're starting. We're going to slow down the muscle wasting. And that's what I hope this compound does. If not, and let's call it a genetic scrub, if it scrubs the ribosomes on the microRNA and it cleans that mutation or fixes it, perhaps his body will start to develop dystrophin.
I believe that. You know, that's something that I just, like, I even just started sweating just thinking and talking about it. Look at that. I really believe that there is, you know, when we give our bodies the tools it needs to function properly and to work in harmony the way it's meant to be, it heals. Not easily, but I'm going to say easily. It's like a tree growing. A tree doesn't struggle to grow, right? It just does its thing. But it needs the tools to do so. And somewhere along the line, some kind of, you know, let's just call it an assault on his genome, on his genetic self, was attacked and flipped that on. And because it was already a predisposition in your, you know, and it was hereditary, that was the weak link that broke, right? And so I really believe that, you know, I don't think God would put us here if he didn't have answers. You just have to dig. And I think that it's something you've been doing since I've known you, is just dig.
Right.
Is dig and dig and don't stop digging. So he's really lucky because he has you to also keep him healthy. What about children whose fathers and parents maybe don't know a lot about nutrition and diet? Do you have any particular diet? I mean, I know you do, but do you have anything you subscribe to in the way to keep him healthy? Because from what I've heard from you, he also doesn't suffer much. Otherwise, he's a really healthy child.
He's a very healthy child, and we keep him from getting a common cold more so than other children would who are healthy to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, and I can't prescribe this to everybody, but I don't give him the flu shot. So we don't.
Amen to that.
We don't put viruses in his body.
Smart.
And to your initial intro about gut health, we keep, because gut and mind work hand in hand. So we keep his gut healthy in terms of wheat free, gluten free.
Mm-hmm.
So because gluten promotes inflammation in the body. And when you have inflammation in the body, that leads to your common ailments.
Mm.
Arthritis, any sort. And that's what that is. Arthritis, anything with an itis at the end of it is due to inflammation of something.
Yeah.
And so we feed him very, very clean. Everything he eats is organic. Nice. There's no milk, unfortunately. Well, fortunately for him, not in his diet. So if you look at him, he does look like a little bodybuilder.
Yeah, he does. He's so cute. He's so damn cute.
And he's got that 12-pack that all of us yearn for.
He does. I'm going to post a picture in the show notes, in fact, if you let me.
Absolutely.
You can see him because he's absolutely adorable.
Thank you.
So, okay, so that's what you would recommend definitely for other parents who might, you know, as rare as this is, there are people who have it and who probably will hear this and maybe even know somebody. And these are the types of things that you can do, you know, despite the fact that a child or an adult might have something that is maybe terminal or doctors are saying, you know, it's a loss. Sorry, you know, just something you have to live with. You can improve the quality of the life of that child or that adult by simply doing the things that we should all be doing anyway, and that's alleviating or lightening our toxic load. We all have this toxic load, and things like gluten, which are meant to be fine for us but no longer are, that's a burden, you know, for a super, super healthy person that doesn't have any immune dysfunction or any imbalances. Even them taking on gluten is going to be somewhat of a burden on the body. So lightening the toxic load, you always hear me talking about that.
And if I can encourage everybody to get enough vitamin C. Vitamin C can ward off a lot of things, especially a common cold.
Yeah, nice.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan. In fact, a couple of podcasts ago, just talking about Wild Force vitamin C, which is this powder that I've fallen in love with because this guy went out and found like the most concentrated forms of vitamin C, those foods, and he, you know, dehydrated them and put them into a powder that's a supplement, and it's got like pine needles and gajinga berry, or I don't even know what, stuff I've never heard of, but the amount of vitamin C concentrate from a whole food is so powerful, you know, and you can take an abundance of it without worrying about odd things, because ascorbic acid vitamin C can be a little bit toxic on the body at certain levels as well, but anyway, subject for another day. So tell me about the projects that you have going on. Tell them about the one about the Grand Canyon.
Oh, the Grand Canyon. Well, that is in itself is amazing, as is one of the seven wonders of the world. It is the only self-contained stage race in America. It's called the G2G, which is the Grand to Grand, and we start at the north rim of the Grand Canyon, and it's a foot race, a 170-mile foot race across the Grand Canyon, the desert. You're running a marathon a day for 7 days. And the third stage, so it's 27 miles the first day, 26 the second. The third day is 53 miles. And then it goes 28, 27, 25, and then the last is 7 mile vertical climb out of the Grand Canyon.
Oh my God. I mean, wow. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. And there's only 140 spots available in this foot race, and it's open to the world. So the owners, Tess and Colin Geddes, they run this race, and it's worldwide. And Jar of Hope was there last year. And because of this race, we now have a footprint in Germany, Australia, Canada, France, and London. So I had the opportunity to speak to all of these other racers prior to beginning the race, and everybody just fell in love with my son and the story. And while I was there, this is not something I intended to do. I was challenged to do it to raise awareness for my son. And if anybody puts an obstacle in front of me for my son, as you know, I'm not going to run from it.
All right. So you ran to it, and you did it.
we're going back in September 24th. So if anybody wants to join Jar of Hope, a.k.a. Team Jamesy, and come out and run the G2G with us, you're more than welcome.
I think that's a challenge. We challenge you. Anybody who's into that extreme sort of thing, and even if you're not, but you think about it and you think, wow, you know, if that little boy can do this in his life, I can do that. I can try this, you know? So I think you know, there's a few things that you, every time I see you on Facebook, and I want you to list all your ways people can see you and follow you, but every time I see you, you're doing some kind of project. When I first met you and talked to you, you were like, I want to come out to your gym and to, you know, your husband's gym, and I want to, and so what exactly do you offer in that way to people? You say to them.
Thank you. Well, one of the biggest commonalities I found out real fast about Duchenne muscular dystrophy was nobody knew of it. I looked inward to my family, to my friends, my neighbors, anybody I spoke to, and even people who might be listening today, might not know of Duchenne muscular dystrophy. And it is a muscle-wasting disease. And being in gyms my whole life, I have never heard of it. So I thought to myself, how can I get, what's the biggest antithesis of this? Well, it's those who are in health and fitness. Mm. So I took the science of the disease, which is the mutation falls on the dystrophin gene, which is, again, the largest gene in the human body. There's 79 exons on the dystrophin gene, and that's how the protein is developed. It starts at exon number one, and kind of like a cookie, you know, remember those commercials with the sentences and the cookie would go down the words mm-hmm. on the sentence? Mm-hmm. So this protein starts at number one, and it goes all the way to exon number 79, and then you have a complete dystrophin protein.
Okay.
So I took that and I said, you know what? I'm going to go to 79 gyms in 79 weeks, and I'm going to explain to each and every member that I can gather together to teach them about this, because maybe someone in an environment might know something about this and they can help me. Mm-hmm. And so far, we've come up with the two therapies. We have the ultrasound therapy machine, the hyperbaric chamber, and it's worked wonderful. And now all of the people who I go and give these seminars to, they've turned this into a fundraiser. So we raise anywhere from like $3,500 a week to $5,000 a week, and it's been truly remarkable. And schools, between grammar schools, they've come out and supported us. We've broke two world records with high schools. We've attempted three world records with adults, but we haven't gotten there yet, so we need some adults to come together. And with a middle school, we've broken two world records with children with the longest Lego chain ever created.
Oh, my goodness.
And in the fastest time. So there's so much that comes out of this, and it's positive, because this is such a devastating disease that we need to find a positive out of all this. My son's life, he was just not born to die in this inhumane way that this disease wants to ravage his body. And no other child, no other parent should see their child just waste away the way this disease wants them to. So Jar of Hope is trying to annihilate this disease, and there's no other way to put it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's, you're just a superhero with this, and I think it's phenomenal. So I want you to talk about how people can find you.
Okay. Go ahead. Anybody needs to look out for Jar of Hope, I'm sorry, you can go on the web at jarofhope.org. You can email us, james@jarofhope.org. And we will, if we don't get back to you almost immediately, give us 24 hours and we will get back to you.
Okay. And then you're on Facebook as Jar of Hope. And what else? Are you on Instagram? Are you on Twitter?
We are on both. It's Jar of Hope, but there's Jar_of_hope on Instagram and Twitter. And we just had Justin Timberlake do push-ups for Jar of Hope, and Ludacris did push-ups for Jar of Hope. So push-ups, the reason we use push-ups is because it explains the gravity of this disease. Children with Duchenne will never be strong enough to do a push-up. So we've been going around and we do push-ups collectively as a sign of support for those who can't. Mm. And it's been quite remarkable. And having Justin Timberlake do push-ups for us was just remarkable.
Oh, my God. That's so cool. And Ludacris. I love it. Okay, so let me think. Are we missing anything that we need to add?
We need to get Ellen behind us. We need Ellen. There's a snail mail campaign going on right now throughout all of New Jersey. It's spearheaded by Corey, a friend of ours in New Jersey, where everybody's mailing letters to Ellen so she can put us on the show. My father, 2 days after my son was diagnosed, turned to me and said, if you want to find a cure for this, you got to get on the Ellen Show.
That's a great idea.
So it's been 34 months, and Ellen, we need your help.
Come on, Ellen. Okay, well, we'll see if we can't reach her. I'm sure we know so many people. We're in L.A. I mean, we're sitting here in L.A. We could definitely. She's not in New York, is she?
I don't believe so. I think she's here in L.A. Should I go to in front of her studio and do push-ups out front?
Sure.
All right.
Why not?
I think we're going to do that today.
Today? Am I coming?
Yeah, you have to.
I'll film you. Anyway, thank you so much. I love that this happened.
Thank you.
And, let's follow up. Let's follow up so we can do another podcast with all the great progress and how well he's doing and all the good news. And I think that's it. Unless you could think of something else while I'm doing my outro here. I just want to thank you and thank everyone. Thank my producer, Ileana, for this awesome last minute impromptu podcast. And Yeah, you can follow me, of course, at Kitty Martone on Instagram and the Estrogen Dominance Support Group on Facebook. You've got my website at healthygutgirl.com and the Total Gut Makeover, which is that six-week program that helps us upregulate digestion and heal your gut. So, everyone, thank you so much. Talk to you soon. Bye.